I'd like to talk to us today about self-discipline. And maybe you would say disciplining of self. Last Sunday, we talked about Joseph and how that he displayed the character of a godly man. I want that. I want you all to have that. And I believe that we could look at Joseph's life and say that he had self-discipline in it. And so I would like to just start out by saying that I thought the message for today was going to be something different earlier in the week. And something happened to me, and I feel like I need to be preached to. So don't want this to be too uncomfortable, but I just want you to know I'm talking to myself today. If you get something out of it, then that's hopefully that'll be a side benefit. My routine is to, I'll just tell you some of the details. We've had an issue, I don't know, last 3 or 4 months of our power going off. And, of course, when the power goes off, it messes up my alarm clock. And it seems like when I reset my alarm clock, the power goes off. So I haven't even reset it in the last 2 weeks because it goes off. So just been using my alarm set on my cell phone for my alarm. And I leave it by my recliner that's in the living room away from the bedroom. And so with its battery, it can always alert me when it's time to get up. So my routine is to get up, turn the alarm off, and get myself dressed for the day, and sit down in the recliner and spend some time to read and to pray and before I go to work. And as always, because you have a cell phone that has unlimited access to all kinds of news and information and things that go on around us, I began to read a story, and it wasn't nothing bad. It was, some of y'all may have seen the story. I don't know how long it's been floating around out there, but it's a story about a man and his wife that took a school bus and made it into a pretty, I don't know, it was pretty impressive looking motorhome thing on the inside, wood paneling, had a little brick wall in it, a little wood stove, and this wasn't no hillbilly rig. Yeah, I mean, this was really nice looking inside. Did all this work themselves, and it was told the story about how that they had bought the thing and planned it all out and how they'd worked together. Nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong with the story. There was nothing inappropriate about it. There was nothing about it that I would have felt if my wife had snuck in and looked over my shoulder and saw me reading this story, I would not have flinched. It was nothing. There was absolutely nothing wrong with this story and what this man and his wife had done. But you know what I did? I read too much. And when I realized what happened to my time, I realized I didn't have the time that I should have spent with the Lord. It was gone. Because you see, there's a time that I'm expected to be at my job. And many of you have or have had that down through life. You were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6:30, what 5:30, whatever it is, you're supposed to be there at a specific time. And I had to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I need some more discipline in my life. And to say that I wasn't doing anything that I would have, if you come and told me about this story and then I looked it up, I wouldn't have felt bad about it. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with the story that I read outside of I needed more discipline. So I've been asking myself, how do I practice something better? And how do I help myself? You know, there's a scripture, I believe in the Old Testament, talks about a dog returning to its vomit, right? Now, how gross can that be? But if you've had a dog, you've seen it happen. You don't have to have a dog a long time, and you'll see it happen. And it's like, please don't do that, not in front of me. But they do. It's because they're a dog. And how often do we go back and do something that's really pretty gross, spiritually speaking? I'm not going to try to speak in parables or anything like that, but how often do I make the same mistake time after time? How do I change to where I don't have the inclination to waste my time, to use it in an inappropriate manner? How do I have more of the character of God to where Paul said that all things are lawful to him? I think there's some limitations to what all things are lawful means, but he said that all these things were lawful to him, but all things weren't expedient. There's a time and a place for everything, isn't there? The scripture even says that. There's a time to read an interesting story about something that a husband and wife did together that's an honorable thing, that's interesting, that's maybe thought-provoking, that maybe gives you some inspiration to remodel your bathroom or something. I don't know. You know, whatever it is. But there's a time for that, and there's a time to not do that. There's a time for me to take control of what I allow myself to do, even if there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. But it's just not at the right time. So I'd like to try to introduce something to you this morning. Some of you, it's going to be like, I already know that. And I'd say most of you, it might be a new thought. We have something in my line of work that we deal with that you can't really see. I can't see the effect of it by looking at an automobile, but when I drive it, I can experience it. It's hard for me to know how to demonstrate it, to teach it. It's something called Castor angle. Castor angle. Well, I want to tell you, if Castor angle is wrong, your car will not drive right. It will cause it to pull to one side or the other. It won't wear tires. It won't cause a vibration. It won't cause any other symptom. And you can look at a car that has very incorrect caster and one that is correct, and you can't tell the difference by looking at the wheels. It's hard to measure it without specific equipment. But I want to tell you some of the things that happens when you have what we call positive caster. Positive caster. It's kind of becomes a self-discipline. Positive caster gives directional stability. Positive caster causes your vehicle to inherently go in a straight line. I'm sure all of us here that's driven for a number of years have had some vehicle that you could drive down the road and literally take your hands off of the wheel and it would just keep going. And maybe you've had some that for the most part it almost seemed like when you go into a curve, it just drives itself almost around the curve. You had to have very little input except this is not some electronic thing. It's inherent to the way the car is designed. There's some of them out there that it seems like the only time you need to really steer the thing is when you're passing or turning the corner. But just driving down the interstate, it's comfortable to drive this. I hope you've got one like that now because it's a pleasure to drive something that seems to just know where to go. You know what causes it to do that? Positive caster. Positive caster. And you could take a measurement of that vehicle and I would promise you that the caster is within specifications. It's got the guidelines. You know what happens when we have directional stability and positive caster in our spiritual life? We have something called eternal security. Eternal security. Now, there's people out there that teach a distorted perspective of eternal security that I'm not teaching this morning. I'm not talking about that, but you know, I want to be eternally secure. That's what I want. I want to have spiritual direction and stability that keeps me from road walking. Have you ever drove a vehicle that it seems like if you weren't cranking on the steering wheel one way, you needed to crank it the other way. And you were just constantly driving this car. I remember having a vehicle come in one time. I was young and inexperienced. And back when I had less knowledge than I have today. And it came in to me. And the customer concern was, when I turn a corner, I can't hardly keep from running in the ditch. And I thought, well, that's pretty strange. And I got in this car. It happened to be an El Camino. And I went to drive it. That kind of dates me, doesn't it? I got in this El Camino and I went for a drive. And when you go around a corner in town, and it was so, I was unprepared for what I was experiencing. I went around the corner, and when normally you can just kind of let go of the steering wheel and they start steering back. You know what I'm talking about? I let go of the steering wheel and it didn't do that. I just kept going to the ditch and I had to pedal this thing around, and I could immediately, I knew what the customer was concerned about. I thought, well, there's something wrong with the power steering gear. So I brought it back and I took it all apart and I couldn't find nothing wrong with it. And I put new seals in it and put it all back together. And I worked on that car for a day or two and I thought, you know, there's something else. I don't know what it is. You know what we found? It had negative caster. It didn't have that. In fact, the best illustration I can give you of negative caster is those little wheels on the front of the shopping cart. You're going down through Walmart and sometimes one of them or the grocery store, and one of them gets to doing this stuff over here. You know what I'm talking about? But the whole intent of that thing is it's going to follow. How much directional stability does those little wheels give on the front of the shopping cart? None. They just follow whatever you push it towards. And you know, without, this is what I find in my life, without me cultivating and designing something into my life where it gives me directional stability, I'll just follow every little rabbit trail that I come across. There's something in a dog that is called, the right term now, but it's the instinct in them to hunt or to apprehend something, because that's how they ate. That's how you get something to eat, is you run it down. And you know, if you have a service dog, one for someone that's blind or handicapped or something like that, that is an incredibly valuable quality to have, a service dog that don't chase cats. Can you imagine having a service dog and going down the sidewalk and all of a sudden a bird swooped down and they take off after the bird or the cat or a squirrel or a rabbit? Now, what good would that service dog be to a blind person if all of a sudden that handle that they're holding on to takes off at full speed in a direction that they can't keep up with? And you know, without positive caster in our life, without a positive angle to our self-discipline, we'll chase every rabbit, we'll chase every squirrel, we'll become distracted with everything that comes along. I will. I'm talking to myself this morning. I'll become distracted. I'll go down some rabbit hole and I'll wonder, why have I spent 30 minutes reading something that won't help me today at all? You can spend 30 minutes reading something that won't help you keep victory in your soul and it not be wrong in itself. I've been there and done that this week. And I'm sorry that I did that, because I realized that the spiritual nutrients that I need to go about every day, I was starting my day without it. And I know that I need to have more self-discipline. I need to be able to be stronger to where that I can have the directional stability will get me to where I want to go, where I say I want to go. I don't know if there's anybody out there that would say to you, I don't really have much aspiration of going to heaven. You could ask, stop anybody on the street and probably ask them, when you die, do you intend to go to heaven? I would say universally we would get the answer, well, yes, I want to be there. Well, what kind of directional stability do they have? Do they have any positive caster to it? So I want to draw something here on the board. I'm going to read some scripture here in a minute. Anybody knows what this is? Well, this is kind of a funny looking bicycle. Y'all bear with me. That angle right there is the caster angle. the angle, have you ever noticed how a bicycle, the front wheel kind of tilts out to the front? And I want y'all, next time you ride your bicycle, it's been a while since I've been on mine. Next time you ride your bicycle, notice something. If you're sitting still and you turn the handlebars, what happens to the front of the bicycle? Anybody know? It lifts up. If you turn it to the right, it lifts. If you turn it to the left, it lifts up. You know why that's important? So you can ride without any hands. You ever do that? You know why you can ride it without any hands? Because of positive caster. You know that your weight on the bicycle makes that steering wheel comes back. You're pushing down, and that positive caster, because if it turns off center, it raises it up. And your weight pushes it down, and it has to inherently go center. I used to get on my bicycle, and by the time I was the second time around with my pedal, I turned loose of the handlebars. And I rode everywhere. I went around corners. Everywhere I went, I rode until I needed to stop. I rode without my hands on my handlebars. I rode a bicycle a lot as a young boy. Positive self-discipline, positive spiritual caster. The weight of your presence and your activities, and when it is aimed at the right, it'll give you a directional stability that will get you to your eternal security. Now I want to read a scripture. I'd like for us to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. And I want to notice what the Apostle Paul says. Over here in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul was talking to the folks at Corinth, and he basically was telling them, if anybody would be accepted or recognized as being apostle or a spiritual minister, you ought to accept me, because I'm the one that has come and preached the gospel to you. He told them that really, technically speaking, I should be financially supported by you. That's what he was reasoning with them all through this chapter about that. And he comes down to the end of the chapter. That's where we're going to read. You feel free to read the chapter sometime and kind of get the context of this. But he comes down to the end and he starts talking about the things that they experience and witness in their everyday life. And I wanted to start reading that in the 24th verse. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." So run with the intent and the purpose and the focus of becoming a winner, to gain the prize. And he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You know what the crowns were for the winners of the Olympic Games in Paul's day were? It was kind of like a wreath of leaves that they'd put on their heads. You might say, crown the winner here. How long would that last? They didn't have plastic leaves back then. It would have been a real green leaf and a vine or something, and they'd wove it together. You know, maybe 24 hours and it's starting to look bad, and within a week it looks like a brush pile. It don't look nice. They don't look pretty anymore. And he says here, now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible. No matter if the crown was made of gold, it's still not the type of crown we're interested in. Eternal life is a crowning effect that we want, that I want. So I must have something that helps me get there. He says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, not as one that's just throwing punches, because we can throw punches, but if we don't ever connect with something, we're liable to throw our elbow out of joint or something. So fight I, not as one. There is something about, if you intend to hit something, hitting it just at the right extension of your arm. Not, you know, if I decide to hit something and it's 2 inches away from the end of my arm, I'm liable to hurt myself worse. But he said, I don't want to fight like that. I want to fight like something that is accomplishing. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. If I don't have positive spiritual caster in my life, if I don't have self-discipline in my life, I won't get there. I'll be chasing every rabbit, squirrel, and bird, and whatever that comes along. I will follow every little snippet of information, just something that'll distract me from the reality of I need the Lord in my life today. Before I go to my job, before I meet the events of the day. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, what's he talking about? I believe he's talking about self-discipline. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you know that it's possible that if we lose ourselves, if I lose my self-discipline, if I don't constantly work on that, that I will not be effective here, and I won't be able to meet God in peace at the end, because if I just fritter it away and lose it, he says, I can become a castaway. I can be someone that this castaway refers to a process of heating metal and the dross coming up and scraping off the stuff. I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but I had an experience to do it in high school. We had a crucible, and we would heat aluminum and melt it down, and my shop teacher decided that we ought to melt down some used lawnmower parts, and we melted it down, and it made a lot of smoke, and when all of the crusty stuff started coming to the top, we had a lot of stuff to skim off of that. And that's what it's talking about. And they cast it away. We scrape that stuff off and put it off to the side, and then we put it in the scrap metal pile. And that's what he's talking about. He says, if I don't keep up under my body, if I don't, I'm talking to me, if I don't have the self-discipline that I should have and be able to keep the positive self-discipline where I will inherently choose to do the right instead of doing something that's a distraction. I'll become a castaway. I'll be like the stuff that's raked off the top and thrown out for garbage. I won't make it. My hopes of eternal security will vaporize. It'll disappear. I won't have it anymore. So it's imperative that I practice a level of self-discipline. I'm not talking about pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's only by the grace of God that we can ever be reconciled to God Himself. It's only because Jesus came. It's only because He made a way for us. That's the only hope I have. But God ain't no sugar daddy either. You know what I mean? He's not just doling it out. You know, there's a theological premise in our world today called universalism. You know what that means? Universalism's theory, and it's false, says that all men will make it to heaven. That somehow or another it's all going to work out. I'm going to tell you, that's not what the Scripture teaches us. He loves you and He wants you to, but He ain't no sugar daddy. You're going to have the desire yourself. It's His will. He says, I would that all men would do what? What? Come to repentance. I would that all men would come to repentance. It's not a guarantee that everybody will. I wish they would. But I have to practice some self-discipline. If I want to be successful in anything in life, I have to discipline myself. I can't eat. I can't have my cake and eat it too. You heard that one before, I'm sure. I'm going to have some discipline. I'm going to have to realize there's some things that might be lawful, but I can't allow myself to gratify any kind of pleasure in it. Not that there wouldn't be a time that I could read about school buses being turned into a motorhome, but before I go to work wasn't the time. It wasn't the time for me to read that. And I know better. I know better. And I'm sorry that I didn't. I'd like to go on a little bit. And I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms over in the Old Testament. I'd like to turn to Psalms, the 15th chapter. I've been challenged with this many times, and this morning and this week is no different. I would like to turn to Psalms chapter 15. It's a really short psalm. It has 5 verses. It starts out with a question. Just like Paul reasoned with the Corinthians here, the writer is reasoning with himself, maybe. I believe it is to a great extent. And he says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? You're going to reason with somebody. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to ask some questions. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to be able to be present in your presence? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to be able to have the eternal security that I want? Because I want it. I say I want it. But what am I doing about what I say I want? He says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Who is worthy of the presence of God? Walk uprightly. Did you know to walk uprightly takes self-discipline? You know, at little children in school, you know, one of the things that they try to impress on little children, or they used to, maybe they don't anymore, but when you went to grade school, you know one of the things they'd try to teach us to do? Sit up straight in your chair. Put your shoulders back. Don't sit there all slouched over. Bad posture. I remember being in grade school and having going to chorus. Never done very good in that class, but I go to chorus, and you know what they'd tell you to do? Set up straight. Put your shoulders back. That way you can breathe in. You can't take a full lung full of air all hunched over in your chair, slouched around. You can't do that. Set up straight. How do you go? That takes some discipline. Because we want to just kind of roll out like a sweet potato or something sometimes, but a mashed one, that is. But it says here, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, that's the one that's going to be able to dwell in his tabernacle and be in his holy hill. He that walketh uprightly. You're going to walk uprightly? Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have some discipline. You're not going to walk uprightly if you don't take some thought about it. I knew a man one time. He was owned a body shop and had some tow trucks, and he got into a habit of walking like this. He wasn't an invalid, but he walked like this. And he got so bad that his shoes, he couldn't get hardly any time out of his shoes. His shoes would just be all, he'd just tear them up. I don't know why he did that. He's a pretty good sized fella, pretty heavy. And he came in one day, and I noticed he was, it was discipline. I don't remember what he done now. He got some different shoes to try to help him. But I witnessed this guy change the way he walked. He didn't limp or anything. He just got in the habit of scuffing his feet on the side, and I don't know how he got started, but I saw him overcome that. I didn't see him with any metal braces on his feet, but he just got to slouching and got his feet crooked. Walking uprightly. Going to take some self-discipline. He's not talking just about physically here. He's talking about spiritually. For me to walk uprightly and do righteous, for me to do that and speak the truth in my heart, I'm going to take some self-discipline. It's not the time or the place to read about school buses. It's not the time or the place for me to play a game or whatever it is. It's time for me to do something that's productive. You know how easy it is to waste time that I could spend in a productive manner and then wonder why you don't have the victory and why you're discouraged and why things are overwhelming to me. Verse 3, he says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You know it's going to take some self-discipline to not backbite with your tongue. The easiest thing for us to say is something negative. That's me. It's the easiest thing for me to say is point out somebody else's flaws. Take some discipline not to do that. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. What's the big question? What's the reasoning here? What's he talking about? He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And I'm going to stand here today and tell you I want to go to heaven. And if I don't practice some self-discipline in my life, I'm not going to get there. It's just a simple truth. In verse 4 it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Not condemned, but contemned. He that honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. You know what we're faced with in our society today? We're faced with vile behavior being promoted and us being coerced to accept it and approve it. And you know what? One of the biggest struggles we'll have is being able to keep the solidifying parameters in our mind that kind of activity is displeasing to God. It's not that I just don't like it. It's displeasing to God. Contemned means to despise, scorn, slighted, neglected, or rejected with disdain. Don't touch it. Don't coddle it. Lord, help me to keep a clear vision of what's acceptable and not acceptable. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. I'm talking about somebody that's going to make it. Dwell in his tabernacle and dwell in his holy hill. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. The contingency is he that doeth these things shall never be moved. It's contingent on our self-discipline. The Lord will do a wonderful thing. You know, He's promised. The Scripture in the New Testament says that if we confess and repent, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's promised to cast our sins as far as the east is the west, from the west. He's also said that He won't remember them anymore, that we'll be completely exonerated from any kind of wrong that we've done in the past. It's a wonderful message of hope and deliverance that we can share with the world. But if we don't actively engage ourselves in doing these things, doing the things that will keep us on task, on target, we'll lose it. I can lose it. Apostle Paul said he could lose it. After I preached to others, he said, I could be a castaway myself. I've got to keep my body. I've got to keep my brain. I've got to keep my activities under subjection, or I could be a castaway too. Every one of us here could be a castaway. But I'm talking to me this morning. I can be a castaway. I can lose it. Not just lose your favor, but I could lose God's favor. I could lose His favor to where that I can't stand before Him guiltless. I want to do that. I want you to do that. And one of the components is I have to have the positive caster that will inherently, I don't know if you get this illustration or not, but the weight of my life will cause me to have a directional stability. The weight of what I naturally do, what I'm predicted to do. What are you predicted to do? The people that know you, what do they anticipate out of you? Do they anticipate you being courteous? Do they anticipate you being judgmental? Do they anticipate you being someone that would be willing to pray? Or do they, what do they anticipate? But the things I practice, the self-discipline I practice, and the weight that comes behind that ends up giving me directional stability. And somebody can look on and say, well, they would never do that. Why do they say that? Because they've watched your caster angle prove it. Time after time, when the going gets rough, you've said, no, I can't go there. I can't do that. I won't allow myself. It might look fun. It might look entertaining. It might look gratifying. But no, I won't go down that path. I want to have it. I want to have the goods on the hands. I want my life to be one that others can anchor to. Not that I don't have a heaven to take anybody to, but I want my life to be stable enough that somebody else can predict. I've seen the things come against them before, and I know where they're going to stand. When everything falls out, we'll know where they'll stand. It's going to take self-discipline. I got to do it in the morning. I got to do it in the evening. I got to do it during the day. I've got to have my life consistent with the Lord, and I can't do that. I can't be consistently have the goods on hand if I don't practice self-discipline. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.